Today's January 28th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $41,917.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, you know, stacking them sats.
Stacking the sats on a Sunday. Good job. It's the Lord's Day. Lord's Day for stacking sats. So, opening up, before we forget, because I know we can. Obviously, we're getting old. what's our Bitcoin purchase at?
So, with $41,903... I don't even hear if that's what you called the price, but it would be $3,708. So profit of $708.
$708. Right? Yeah. So we're sitting pretty good there. It's been kind of crazy seeing the week close, you know, as we're getting to the end of this week and we're going to go to another week. Just seeing some of the price action that's going on again. We did break above 42,000 for a little while today, which is nice to see.
Yeah, especially when you start seeing it, you know, reach the highs of almost 50 and then just start losing all momentum, going, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, and, you know, it's tough. Like, you know, we talk about that 0.0885 that we made back, or that purchase that we did back in October, end of October at that. And we were up $1,000 at one point when we recorded, right?
Yes.
And just to think about that, like the trading that you could do, like if you could trade the fluctuations in Bitcoin, you could probably make a killing on a daily basis if you're really, really, really lucky.
You'd have to be really good and fairly lucky. I know from traders I've seen, they play this weird confidence game where they, you know, they start having these master strokes and then they start believing in their God's gift to creation, and then they have this terrible bad run and their confidence is shattered. So
do you think a lot of them are gambling addicts, like addicted to gambling?
There has to be something to that.
Yeah. It's almost chasing a high kind of thing, right?
Well, when you're, I mean, just look at this. How long have you been in Bitcoin and you've seen a few God candles in your time? How did that feel?
Well, I've been in Bitcoin for what? Yeah, 10 years now?
Yeah.
Or close to 10 years, probably getting close to that decade anniversary. But, you know, I mean, we talked about this on the last podcast where, you know, the support level at that $40,000 mark and how it kept on bouncing off it, and eventually when it breaks through it, like usually you lose that support.
Uh-huh.
So when we were sitting there on Thursday, you know, and if I was a trading person, I would have been sitting there betting, okay, we broke 40. Where's our next price target? And I think you and I both are kind of in agreement. Like we were thinking like 38.5. We're going to get down there and have to see if there's support there. What's going to happen next? But no, what did we do? We did the inverse. We hopped from, you know, that $39,000 mark. We jumped almost immediately up to $41,000 on Friday morning. Like, I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have lost my shorts on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
would have sold your Bitcoin and then would have had to buy back in short.
I saw a post on that on X the other day too, and it made me, I felt sorry for the guy because I know that had to have hurt. He sold out at 40 and he was like, I'm going to buy back in at 35. So he sold everything and now the market's reversed. And he may have even sold less than that. He may have sold it like that $38,000 mark, like, because I know we got pretty close to that.
It's the 39, somewhere in the 39s.
Yeah, low 39s. He may have sold off there. And he was like, hey, we're going to go down low, right? And he sold all of his position. And now it doesn't look like him. We may never get back there again.
No, it's hard to say. I mean, I remember buying, you know, back in 2020, into 2020, 2021, where it hit 20, and then it was like 30, 40.
Yeah.
Then next thing you know, it's at 6. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's like, it's never going back down to 20 again.
Yeah. And, well, and I honestly didn't think it would have.
No.
And
no. Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a crazy time. And the other thing that drives me nuts right now, too, is everybody's waiting to see what the ETF does. But it's, you know what? Like Bitcoin, the market, it got to $69,000 without an ETF.
Yes.
It doesn't need the ETF. Bitcoin can do this crazy stuff without that. But like, it's almost like the people that have worked on Bitcoin and pumped Bitcoin so hard and all this stuff, it seems like they're wanting to hand off that baton. It's like, no, you're not done yet. Time to make the donuts. Get up.
Well, I just think there's a huge hurdle for the general public getting involved. And the ETF is kind of that, I don't know what you want to call it. You know, I was going to say like the gateway drug.
Yeah.
Bitcoin.
No, and absolutely it is. And I wonder how many people, like, if people really start like purchasing within that ETF, do you think like that could eventually lead to some of them wanting to be like, you know what, I want to do some self-custody?
I'd hope so. I mean, that's kind of our, you know, the motto of Bitcoin is not your keys, not your Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the last thing you'd want is, you know, these big companies to screw over the people that gave them money, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did.
Yeah. No, that's...
Eventually.
You're right. I mean, that's absolutely true. And, you know, it's kind of interesting seeing some of the dust settle from the ETF again, where I've got a few articles up that we really wanted to kind of touch on today. One of the first things, obviously, we're getting back into kind of a bullish sentiment within the space. And right now, actually, while we're recording here, we're back above 42,000 as we're closing the weekly close. So, hey, that's a good sign. But one of the things that I found out was we and I think we talked about this slightly on the last episode, where a lot of the selling pressure that we were seeing that was pushing the price down was coming from Grayscale.
Yes.
And how that was, you know, the outflows from Grayscale were pushing the price down. Meanwhile, we were starting to see like BlackRock and Fidelity, like their shares were starting to increase. Like they were buying more, but they weren't outpacing the outflows from Grayscale. But the crazy thing that I'm seeing with this is that Grayscale's Bitcoin holdings that they were selling directly to the exchanges. And then everything that iShares like BlackRock and Fidelity were doing and ARK, they're buying over the counter. So it's not like for like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One, so
over the counter, you're talking about like directly from miners.
Yeah, directly from miners and other individuals that, you know, may want to deal with high net clients that they're not selling it on the exchange. It's not going to affect the price, but, you know, somebody wants to purchase. But it doesn't...
Right on the open market, you put it on Coinbase.
Yeah.
They're going to have a glut of it, and price will go down.
Right, yeah, because all of a sudden now there's all this extra Bitcoin on the market. So we'll have to see. I mean, it's kind of crazy times to see that take place, but there's been so much, I guess, clamoring that's been going off with this ETF. Like, you hear a lot of people say that it's actually been a failure, when it hasn't been. This has been an overwhelming success. The only reason why people think it's a failure is because it hasn't pumped the price.
Right. Well, and that's the thing that people don't understand. Even I didn't really, I mean, I knew about Grayscale, but I didn't realize that they had one of the biggest wallets on the chain. Mm-hmm. That was out of Satoshi's, right?
Yeah, no, theirs is huge, huge. It was over 600,000 Bitcoin that they had. And I think now it's dropped down to like 500,000 Bitcoin, but they have a bunch of Bitcoin. They were like the largest holders, but they were buying up like crazy in 2020, 2019, 2020, 2017, kind of in that area. They started buying up like mad. So now we have those outflows going out. And one of the big things here is that BlackRock and Fidelity have been the biggest purchasers of Bitcoin so far. BlackRock has acquired 49,952 Bitcoin worth $2 billion already. And Fidelity has bought 43,855 Bitcoin worth $1.8 billion. So, I mean, between the two of them, that's almost 100,000 Bitcoin.
In 10 days.
In 10 days, yeah. 10 days, and that doesn't count. There's, I think, what they're starting to call it in the industry right now is the new nine. Mainly because they don't include black or grayscale. Because grayscale was already there. They already had the holdings, right? They didn't have to set their, to fund their ETF. The rest of them did. So
the rest of them are all new kids on a block, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So
whereas,
yeah, grayscale had
their old warrior.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, that is just insane to me. That there's already 100,000 Bitcoin between the top two, basically, already purchased in like 10 days. And I mean, they've almost got as much as Michael Saylor has, and it took him years.
Yep.
Like, I mean, just to think about that, right?
Yeah. No, that's insane. I mean, and that's the other thing. With Grayscale selling out a good chunk of their Bitcoin, even without that, like if you, I mean, you don't ignore that data, but just the fact that, is there any other ETF that's had this kind of inflows in just a few days?
No. From what I understand, everything that I've seen is that this has been the top performing and quickest accelerating ETF in history. There's a demand for it. And that's the crazy thing, is the demand is there. And so, and here's the crazy part about that too. And I hate, man, because it gets me so hyper bullish. They haven't even started like BlackRock and Fidelity. Like they haven't even started like starting to train their advisors on this yet. This is just open interest from the public.
Yeah.
And one of the other crazy things too, is starting as of tomorrow, Google is going to allow them to start advertising for the ETFs again. Like Google would not allow any type of Bitcoin advertising. And they're going to open that up tomorrow.
Interesting.
I mean, so it's, I don't know. So far, it looks like as of Thursday, it looks like the final, actually it was Tuesday of this last week, looked like it was kind of the pivot point for the Grayscale outflows. And ever since then, we've started to see kind of a trend back up. Like it was kind of sideways chop. And I think now we're going to maybe fingers crossed, that's the end of the major outflows from Grayscale. And now we're going to see like the vacuum just start kind of mopping everything up.
Well, and that's the issue with being a trader right now, especially with Grayscale being as giant as they are. I mean, they are a whale. They move this market.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea what they're going to do.
No.
And that's where that guy made a bullish bet. He's like, oh, yeah, Grayscale's going to keep selling. You don't know that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we don't know if they're going to keep buying or maybe they changed their mind in a couple of weeks. Right, we're going to unload another 100,000.
Yeah. Well, and a big part of that, too, that we find out, and it's amazing. That's what I love about Bitcoin. We find out so much of this stuff. Like there's a lot of clarity that comes up within the blockchain. A lot of the outflows that were coming from Grayscale turned out to be from FTX shares.
I thought they didn't break Bitcoin, you know, a couple of years ago. They came back for round two.
And they were like, did you miss me? Here's your kiss, playboy. Yeah. Like it's ridiculous, man. Like, FTX, man, that guy, even from prison, he's still doing horrible things to us.
Yeah. Hopefully horrible things are happening to him too.
No, I'm
say that loud.
I'm hoping. So it, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like, I mean, how much of that, like FTX, I didn't even know they had that much indirect exposure to Bitcoin. They could buy it directly. Why were they buying it on Grayscale?
I don't know, but it sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah.
They were way more connected than we like to think.
Yeah, they were. Absolutely. And now we've got, like, there's been a bunch of FUD that's been kind of hitting the market. But the thing that I think is kind of interesting is that everybody's talking about how, oh, well, the U.S. government, apparently from the Silk Road debacle that took place, the U.S. government's going to sell their 130,000 Bitcoin that they claimed in the Silk Road.
Yeah.
But that's still, like, hardly any, it basically it equals the outflows of what Grayscale's done to us. Like, they want to act like that's FUD, but Bitcoin, like, honestly didn't, it moved, don't get me wrong, it moved the price of Bitcoin, but Bitcoin kind of took it. Like, it didn't crash the market. And now they're talking about, like, they're going to sell that amount, and then Mt. Gox is starting to come back again, where they're going to talk about, and maybe this is just old FUD stuff that's starting to come out. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to keep that price suppressed.
Maybe.
Try and scare people. I don't know.
Maybe. I think we just need to keep paying attention to the outflows, see what Grayscale's doing. Well, not the outflows, the inflows into the other ETFs and the outflows from Grayscale.
Yeah.
Because at this rate, there's no way that the mining can keep pace with it, and especially with the halving coming up soon. I mean...
No, man. What did we say? So it's 900 Bitcoin is mined daily currently. It's about to get dropped to 450. And within the first week, well, 2 weeks, we'll give it 2 weeks, basically. 2 weeks full, maybe almost three, maybe 10 days. I don't know exactly what it's been, but over 100,000 Bitcoin between the top two. And there's only 900 a day.
Yeah.
They're stripping out that supply.
No, they're vacuuming it up.
I think, yeah, to me, I think that's even more incredible than anything else, is just the way that it's getting sopped up. Like, they've got their noses out there, and they're just doing it like they do. I was going to say something crass, but...
Yeah, I understand. We'll just keep paying attention to that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can predict a supply shock if one's happening.
Yeah, one of the other things that we had talked about on the previous episodes is we had talked about, and I think you brought it up, the issue going on in the Red Sea in Yemen, right?
Yes.
So one of the things that we've talked about as being a bullish kind of scenario for this year for Bitcoin was a Fed rate reduction, which we still think is going to happen. However, if this kind of thing continues, like, that's going to cause inflation because of war stuff, right? That's what you've talked about.
It's going to affect all sorts of different things internationally, including shipping.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other big thing, is that this could cause issues with shipping again. We haven't seen it being added on to, you know, the price tags in stores yet, but that will come. They've got to pay for that extra additional shipping cost if they're going to go around the Cape rather than going through the Red Sea. Which, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to inflate the economy again. Obviously, obviously, we're not going to get deflation, but and maybe we will. I mean, that other M2 chart that we brought up, you know, a couple episodes ago, maybe that could. But that's like, if that happens, that's cratering everything. Like, everything is going to crap. Like, that's Great Depression stuff, and we've talked about that before.
Yes.
So, something to keep your eye on with the shipping lanes.
Definitely. If you can find what the charts keep looking like going forward on the M2, I'm really fascinated.
Yeah, I don't know after they update it. Maybe we'll try and look at it like on a maybe a quarterly basis, see if we can pull something. But yeah, I think that would be kind of interesting to see how that's trending, because that's some scary numbers when you look at that and the stuff that's happened with that. And then the last thing that I wanted to bring up personally was, Craig Wright, who's been a charlatan within the Bitcoin space for a while. It looks like he's finally getting his just desserts in the court cases. He had two that were going. One was a defamation case, against Peter McCormick, for basically calling him a charlatan on his podcast and a scammer. And the other one was, and I know we talked about this one on the podcast, was he had tried to, get a copyright claim on the white paper for Bitcoin. And it looks like he's about to lose both of these cases.
Yeah, that's pretty ballsy.
He said that he was Satoshi. He's never been able to move a single coin, or a single Satoshi for that matter, out of those wallets that he claims are his. He took control of the ex Satoshi account. I don't know where he got it from. He either bought it off somebody or something else, or somebody hacked it and he got it. He's got He's got a few different things where he tries to imitate Satoshi and say that he's Satoshi. And I hope it's people like him, like in his ilk, that move away from the Bitcoin space permanently with these types of losses.
I hope so. But, I mean, it just kind of goes to show, I mean, I mentioned this earlier, that human nature is pretty flawed and deception is kind of baked into the cake of humanity. And that's kind of what Bitcoin is setting out to do, is to create the hardest currency where people cannot manipulate it and change it.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's a positive thing because it shows, there are bad people out there, but they will not really have a space to operate within Bitcoin.
Yeah, those scammers are going to lose. And I hope they continue to lose. Something I kind of brought up with you earlier, and speaking of scammers, those of you that watch YouTube at all, if you're watching YouTube, and maybe I've just targeted because I watch a lot of crypto stuff, but there have been so many deep fake ads with like Michael Saylor and Brad Garlinghouse, you know, those types of things where they're just talking about, oh, you send us, 10 ETH and we'll send you 20 back. Like, and people apparently fall for this stuff all the time. Otherwise, they wouldn't continually put these things up. But Michael Saylor has been shutting them down like crazy. But I think the funny thing that I found about it was Vitalik Buterin. If you've never watched that man speak, he is uber nerd, uber mensch nerd, right?
Yep.
I saw one with him the other day, and it's the first time I've seen him in one of these deep fakes, and they made him such a smooth talker. It blew my mind. I'm like, that is obviously a deep fake. I just thought it was funny. And maybe,
it was the wrong side of the uncanny valley, I guess.
Yeah. He was just like, no, he's not this. So if you get a chance, watch it for chuckles. But then you got to, if you're not familiar with who Vitalik Buterin is, he is basically the creator or one of the co-creators of Ethereum. And yeah, he is what you'd expect a computer nerd to be. So it was awesome. It was something I wanted to bring up and share. If you get a chance, watch it. It's funny.
Will do.
Any predictions for this next week?
I have no idea. I'm not a trader, and I would just be hodling. That's all I suggest. Hodl.
Hodl be thy name. What do we have? What's going on with newsletter? Where are we at?
Oh, trying to iron out some kinks. There's a lot of things going on with email newsletters and kind of clamping down on spam, which we kind of agree with.
Yeah.
Nobody likes spam. And we're not, if you give us your email, we are not going to spam you with a whole bunch of crap. We'll just give you some news tidbits and some insights and might sell a few things to you. But we're working on that. We have our checklist, our crypto self-custody checklist. We're going to be putting that up. It's going to go live here soon. So you can sign up for our newsletter and get that. And then maybe just another section on the podcast we're going to work on, or maybe on the website, is we're going to kind of come up with the crypto basics.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think something that would be kind of cool too, like we talked about it earlier, like if the ETF leaves to your own self-custody, on our website, we do have a couple links to the Elipal and the Ledger devices, where if you decide you want to give self-custody a try, you don't want to just keep it on the exchanges, you can purchase those through there. And then kind of what goes along with that is our checklist that we're kind of providing there, where if you get one of those devices, you kind of want to make sure, this is kind of a helping hand to kind of walk you through the process, help you understand a little bit better, just because it can be very nerve-wracking the first time you do it. So,
indeed.
Anyways, anything else you got, Rick?
That's it for now.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you all soon.
Bye.